Today, in this 12-day season of Christmas, we get to share in a rare Jesus is less than 40 days old story. There's not very many childhood stories in the Gospels, but this is one of them. Joseph and Mary back in Jerusalem, displaying their devout Jewishness, Mary presenting herself in the temple for a purification ritual, Mary and Joseph presenting their firstborn son as an offering to the Lord. And you still have to wonder if Joseph is just thinking, this is so surreal, my firstborn son, and I had no part of this. They offer a sacrifice according to the law, which for the rich would be a lamb, but for the poor, it's two turtle doves. And so imagine this solemn ritual with a temple priest presiding. And now Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus in his first century diapers walking out of the temple courts. And then suddenly, whoosh, imagine if you're a Seinfeld fan, Kramer sliding onto the scene. But Kramer looks aged like Doc Brown Emmett from Back to the Future. Are you getting that picture in your mind? This quirky 70-something white-haired man, lanky, a bit eccentric. Great Scott! The Holy Spirit sent me here. I have no idea why. And yet, here it is. Here he is. The consolation of Israel. Imagine him grabbing Joseph by the lapels, saying, Great Scott, Joseph, do you know what this means? Let me hold the child. So he sweeps baby Jesus, this 39-year-old baby, into his arms and praises God, shouting, Master, dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, not just for me, but for all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to the people of Israel. And as if Mary and Joseph don't have enough on their mind, here they are again, bewildered and amazed at these words. Perhaps Mary's wanting him to calm down, and she's reaching out for her baby that he's swinging around to and fro. But he's not done, because after these words, he says words of blessing for the whole family. And then suddenly he gets intense and serious. Imagine his dark, beady eyes and his furrowed brow staring through Joseph and then focusing on Mary. This child's destiny is for the falling and rising of many in Israel. He will be opposed. The inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. Simeon's face drops, his exuberant, frenetic joy suddenly transitioning into sullen silence. And perhaps you can read the thought bubbles above Joseph and Mary's heads. What in the world? Or the Jewish Yiddish is WTF, what the farvus? Which means what the what? You can look that up. The silence is broken by this shriek from an 84-year-old woman. It's Anna, the temple prophet, a woman who tarries day and night at the temple, devout, prayerful, fasting, worshiping, day after day after day. And this time, Mary holds Jesus tight to her chest. She's not about to let her baby get swept up again. But Anna is different. She's excited, she's ecstatic, but more subdued in her delivery. She too praises God for the gift of this child, quoting words from the prophet Isaiah, turning to others in the temple courts, saying, Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the end of the earth. He does not grow faint nor weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary. The young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. Perhaps she utters other quotes from Isaiah from her memory in her prayer life. Do not fear, says the Lord. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my sight. You are honored, and I love you. Imagine how those words would have soothed and perhaps brought a bit of peace and hope and calmness to Mary's beating heart. Joseph and Mary are slowly getting accustomed to this plight of their life. This baby has turned their lives upside down. And as much as they've been overjoyed to take care of this baby in the first 39 years of his life, they realize how much they too are changing. And as they leave the bustling city of Jerusalem, longing for the quiet routines of their small town Nazareth, they realize that with this son, whether in the near or far future, life will be anything but routine. Oh, 39 days, not 39 years. That's what happens when my wife doesn't read my transcript before a Sunday sermon. How are we in the wake of Christmas as we try to live out of this story today? Just a few days ago, we sang, "All is calm, all is bright, sleep in heavenly peace." I don't know what your week's been like, but for some, that peace lasts moments, maybe hours or just days. And suddenly our peace and our quaintness is interrupted by the mundane or the dramatic crises of our lives. So I don't know where you're at. I even think of the mundane example of Christmas Day at our house. Moments after the presents were opened, our new cat, or Bella, puked on the Christmas tree apron. So that moment of peace and basking is suddenly overturned with pellets all over the Christmas apron. I got to thinking about Sandy and my early part of our marriage, and one of the great calamities that we experienced in California was the Northridge earthquake in January of 1994. Being asleep and then suddenly jolted awake at 4:30 a.m. Okay, Sandy was jolted awake, and then she shook me and says, "Wake up! It's an earthquake!" So peace and calamity always swirling together in our lives. Isn't that true, if we stop to admit it? And so the good news for us, as it was the good news for poor Mary and poor Joseph, is that in the midst of those terrifying and tranquil moments, Jesus is Emmanueling with us. The good news is that God is ultimately involved with the ruckus, the calmness, the commotion, and the calamity of our lives. And in fact, it seems that God, through Jesus, likes nosing around and actually instigating calamity and ruckus in our lives. Will Willimon, one of our favorite preachers that we read here at First Baptist, has this saying that the problem with a living God is exactly that. It's a living God. And though we might want to live these quaint, quiet, Christian, calm lives, this God, because of his aliveness, is always nosing around in our lives. And not bringing calamity and commotion for his joy's sake, but that's just the way life is. And yet God's promise is that God will continue to Emmanuel with us. And so it is for us. We encounter Jesus, and he doesn't just wish us well for a fairy tale ending. As we encounter Jesus, Jesus might actually turn our lives upside down. We might be like Simeon. This is what I've been waiting for. And yet at the same time, this encounter with God might push us and mobilize us to bold truth-telling, speaking the truth in love. A sword will pierce through your soul. One of my favorite hymns is the hymn that we just sang, What Child Is This? Because it really does swirl in light and dark, joy and sorrow together. And that's why we stopped at verse 2 today. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. This cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. The good news is that Jesus was born into the beauty and bane of humanity so that he might be familiar with our own beauty and bane. That's good news. It's wonderful news. In the words of Isaiah, he says of Jesus, a bruised reed this servant will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. And so in the midst of the ruckus and the calamity of our lives, Jesus is on the move, bringing forth justice, offering peace to all of humankind, and yet slowly reshaping things. And sometimes it feels like it's so slow, it's at the pace of a 39-day-old baby. No matter what the pace, God invites us to join him, restoring the world, doing a redeeming work with God and for God. And so on this fourth day of Christmas, let's pause, let's reflect, and let's also renew and lay our lives before our God. The joys and sorrows in our hearts, the calm, the calamity, and may we know the certainty of these wisely, sagely prophets, who knew for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. I invite you into 30 or 40 seconds of silence to rest in these promises, to rest in the truth and the hope and comfort of this story. And then after a season of silence, we'll close with a prayer. And there's a prayer found on the insert in your bulletin. The top of it says Christmas Prayers 2014. And we'll pray that together after the season of silence, where I'll invite you to pray with me the bold face parts of that prayer. Let's pray together. Blessed are you, God of all creation, and blessed is the communion into which you gather us. Your word is conceived within us, and we grow heavy with hope, eagerly awaiting the day when all creation will be delivered into your glorious freedom. Send your Holy Spirit to call us by name and lead us home. The prophets crying in the wilderness awaken us with their holy anger and passionate hope. Come, Lord Jesus, bring the day of justice to birth. Send your Holy Spirit to call us by name and lead us home. As the shadows shrink and the sun begins to bite, we anticipate your coming with joy and fear. Come, Lord Jesus, give us the courage to yield to the purifying fire of your love, raging towards us. Send your Holy Spirit to call us by name and lead us home.